Spirit of the Lord is. There is love, there is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life, there is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord.
As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, Come Ye Disconsolate, number 510, if you're following along in the United Methodist hymnal. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we'd like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. Let's see. I have a couple already. Morgan's friend, Mary Smith, who they call Fern, passed away this past week. So if we could keep the Smith family in our prayers, it would be much appreciated. Also, Blake Leisinger, who sometimes comes and sits on the back there, his mother passed away. I think it was this past week, but just in the last 2 weeks. So if you will keep his family in your prayers as well. Does anyone else have any requests or praises that they would like to share? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for the Jones family. They got to the hospital.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have any? Yes, sir.
Sharon's home with the creeping crud.
Oh, boy. I'm glad she didn't bring it here, but I do miss her. So let her know we miss her, but not her sickness. So we'll keep her in our prayers for sure. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray for the Smith family as well as the Lysinger family as they have lost loved ones this past week. We pray that you would comfort, strengthen, and heal them. We pray that you would draw them nearer to one another and nearer to you. We pray that they would know that you mourn with them, just as you mourned at the death of Lazarus. So you mourn at all of the effects of sin in our world. Lord, we also want to pray for the Jones family. We pray that you would be with them, that you would provide comfort, healing, and strength, and that you would help them through this very difficult time. Lord, also for Sharon, we pray that you would help her to feel better, and whatever is all messing with her and making her feel ill, we pray that you would remove it from her body, that you would give her strength and healing and help her, Lord, to be able to return to doing the things that she enjoys doing very quickly. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we be reminded that worship is not about us, it is about you. Help us, Lord, to be conformed to your will. Help us to be more like Christ in all that we say, do, think. May we be like Christ. We pray all these things in his beautiful and glorious name as we pray together the words that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If we could have our children come to the front for children's church at this time. Morning, y'all. Y'all know what these are, right?
Balloons.
Balloons, huh? You like balloons? Balloons are fun until you let them go and they blow away and then it's kind of sad, right? So we won't let these go. What do people usually use balloons for? Any idea?
No.
No? Liliana doesn't know. You know what people usually use balloons for, Liam?
Get air.
Yeah? To get air? Do people use them to celebrate things?
I had a star at my house.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I stayed it on my top of the house because it fits up there.
I used to have a balloon.
You did?
Yeah, but my dad's room, I had it, and the points on top of his ceiling, and it popped.
Oh, wow. Well, that's no good. I hate when balloons pop. They're loud and they're noisy, aren't they? And they can scare you. Well, a lot of times people use balloons to celebrate things, right? They celebrate, for instance, Valentine's Day. Sometimes you'll see them around Easter. And sometimes people will get them for anniversaries or birthdays, that kind of thing. And you know, Jesus' very first miracle, he helped a party continue. These people were having a wedding party and they ran out of drinks. And Jesus gave them more drinks. John puts that in the very beginning. He says this was Jesus' very first miracle. And I think the reason is because he wants us to know that Jesus likes fun. He likes celebration. It's not about being all boring and stuffy and all that kind of stuff. It's fun. It's celebration. And so Jesus wants us to celebrate. So today we're going to celebrate a little something. I'll put him on the spot one more time. But Mr. Clayton had a birthday yesterday. And so these balloons and these, y'all will share with him, are for him. So we'll let him come get the balloons because they're untied and they will disappear. So, and then we'll sing happy birthday to him. Everybody ready? Here we go. All right. Now we'll give most of these to Mr. Clayton, but part of celebrating things is that people get to enjoy the food of the celebration. So if you want to grab you a cookie there, they're chocolate and peanut butter. There's you one. Get you nice and sugared up for Wonder Worship so that the ladies can be upset with me. And we'll give these balloons and these to Mr. Clayton here. There you are, and your cookies. And now let's say a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that you do enjoy celebration, that you do enjoy fun. Help us, Lord, to remember that. Lord, may you be with these children here, with all the children represented by those who are here, with all children everywhere. May you help us to have childlike faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all can head back to Wonder Worship if you would like. Enjoy your cookies. We'll let Clayton get tied up there. If we could have our ushers come forward at this time, we'll worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the giver, may you bless the receiver. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for remaining standing as we sing our next hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 496, if you're following in the hymnal. As you're able, please remain standing for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. Beginning in verse 32, "What more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies and armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Let's see. We're talking about the disciples, aren't we? We're getting close to the end of them, too. Our disciple for today is a guy who has one of those names. Anybody here ever get a nickname that you didn't really like? You know, like maybe, and it just kind of stuck with you. Like, I went to school with a guy from about sixth grade to high school. We graduated together. We called him Biggin, because he was a biggin, right? He was a big, big guy. But he embraced the name. You know, you think most people would be like, oh, God, don't do that. You're making fun of me. But he embraced it. He'd get mad if you didn't call him that, right? But sometimes other people get nicknames that, you know, they don't really care for, but it just sort of becomes part of who they are. Well, our apostle today is James the Less or James the Lesser. That's kind of a derogatory name, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. If somebody called you less or lesser, you might get a little upset. I mean, lesser means not as good as, not as important. Nobody wants to be called that. But see, there were two Jameses that followed Jesus. We already talked about James the elder. He gets the elder, right? At least he doesn't get the greater because, well, we can't call him the greater because that would go against scriptural teaching, right? And then we have James the lesser. This is a picture, actually, and in case you're not sure what's going on, because it took me a minute, I had to read the title of the picture to finally get it. Jesus, who's obviously here in white, is giving James bread. I think James found out the bread wasn't gluten-free, and he's probably on a gluten-free diet, and so that's why he's reacting the way that he is. But this is what's going on. At first I thought, why is Jesus giving him a heart? Because it kind of looks like a heart to me. But nevertheless, this is a painting of James the Less receiving bread from Jesus. Before we get into James the Less, I want to ask y'all a few questions. How many people here have ever heard of Billy Graham? Right? Probably most, if not all of us, right? How about, let's see, Charles Stanley. Anybody ever heard of Charles Stanley? Quite a few of us have heard of Charles Stanley. Okay, how about Pope John Paul II? Anybody know Pope John Paul II? Okay. And then we have, of course, Pope Francis nowadays, right? We know him. Who has ever heard of Peter, the disciple of Jesus? Anybody ever heard of him? What about Paul? Anybody? His name was Saul, now he's Paul. Okay. We know all these guys' names, right? All right, so let's see. How many of you have ever heard the name Evelyn Norsworthy? Anybody know who Evelyn Norsworthy is? No? Don't know who that is? Oh, let's see. What about Herschel Childs? Anybody know who Herschel Childs is? Nobody? No. Jimmy Vinson. Anybody know Jimmy Vinson? Anybody know who he might be? How about Margaret Adams? Anybody know Margaret Adams? A couple of you might know Margaret Adams, right? On the one hand, we have famous Christians, right? We have people who are well known. I mean, Billy Graham was well respected. He did that rare thing that people do where both Republicans and Democrats liked him and respected him and wanted to talk to him. That's really rare. And it seems increasingly rare in our world today. But, you know, when you look back, it gets kind of tiresome. But when you actually look back and you go back and back and back, politicians have always been politicians and been involved in character assassination. That's kind of what they do in politics. actually, they were a lot ruder about it years ago, and sometimes they'd shoot each other. You know, we've had a few politicians in our history that would have duels and, you know, were killed or killed others in duels. So maybe hearing them complain on TV isn't quite so bad. But we know who Billy Graham is. Charles Stanley, we've probably heard of him. You know, he has different programs and such. He's a fairly well-known preacher. And of course, Peter is the biggest disciple of Jesus. And Paul, if it weren't for Paul, we wouldn't have the vast majority of the New Testament. I told them over at Chevron, Paul is so important to Christianity that I read a paper, which was absolutely ridiculous, that claimed that Paul was a man from roughly the 4th century who was hired by the Roman government to make Christianity flourish. There's lots of reasons that's wrong. The primary one is that we have references to Paul in manuscripts that are older than the 4th century. So, you know, it kind of makes that difficult. Unless he's a time traveler, maybe he was a time traveler or something. But he's so important to Christianity that in order to discredit Christianity, you have to discredit Paul. If it weren't for Paul, it's arguable that the vast majority of us wouldn't be here. Paul's very important. But what about these other people that I named? Evelyn Norsworthy was my next door neighbor growing up most of my life. She was a United Methodist all her life. She, actually, her family founded the Methodist church that I became a Christian in. And she's the only person I've ever met, no offense to anybody, she's the only person I've ever met that was always like Jesus. Always. I tell people when I talk about her, if heaven didn't exist, they'd make it for just for her. Excuse me. If it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't be standing here in front of you. Some of you might not, you know, be too upset by that, but most of you, I think, like me. So if it weren't for Evelyn Norsworthy, I wouldn't be a Christian, most likely. Herschel Childs was one of my first spiritual mentors. Jimmy Vinson was my first real youth pastor. I'd gone to youth groups before, but he was the first youth pastor that I had that was in a youth group that I actually went because I wanted to learn how to be more like Jesus. And Margaret Adams is the most important of all because she's my mother. Without her, I wouldn't be here at all. How many people know the name of the person who told Billy Graham about Jesus? Unless you're a Billy Graham scholar, you probably don't. I don't know who it is. I haven't got a clue. What about Charles Stanley? Who knows the name of the person who converted or helped convert Charles Stanley? I don't know who it is. Bless you. But somebody had to do it. Because in this great mystery of faith that we have, God uses men and women to speak the truth of the gospel to others. And if it weren't for these unknown but faithful men and women, we wouldn't know who Billy Graham is or Charles Stanley is. James the Less is only mentioned in Scripture in the list of the disciples. Never again. In church traditions, there aren't really any church traditions about him. The only church tradition that is accepted, I suppose, is that James the Less was martyred after he preached about Jesus at the temple. I'm sure you know how well that went over. They told him to stop. He said no. They threw him off the Temple Mount. He didn't die. So they stoned him to death. That's really all we know about James the Lesser. But he teaches us something really important. When Jesus is preparing his disciples for his crucifixion in the Gospel of John, Jesus humbles himself and washes the disciples' feet. Now, some people don't really care for feet, so they probably already think that's kind of gross anyway, right? But even those of us who may not mind still are like, I don't know that I want to wash somebody's feet if I don't have to, right? In their culture, the lowest slave in the house washed your feet because the lowest slave in the house untied your sandals. And then they washed your feet because, you know, they didn't have great sanitation, so your feet got really gross. Not to mention if you're in the desert, you get sand and all that kind of stuff. It's hot, your feet get gross. But Jesus, who is supposed to be Messiah, who's supposed to be King, who's supposed to be Lord, who the disciples haven't figured out yet, but who they finally figure out is God in the flesh, humbled himself to the lowest point possible and served the disciples. And then he says to the disciples, in the world system, leaders lead from the top down, and they push their people down, and they oppress, and they use people for the furthering of their own agenda without necessarily thinking about the value of those people. And Jesus says, but with you it's different. The student cannot be greater than the teacher. Therefore, if I wash your feet, you also wash one another's feet. Jesus taught his disciples that the first will be last and the last will be first. In the kingdom of God, the reason that James the Elder is called James the Elder is because you can't call somebody James the Greater. But the reason that James the Lesser is called James the Lesser is because in Christian theology, to be called lesser is an honorable thing. James the Lesser teaches us that a lot of us are going to toil in obscurity. A lot of us are going to feel like we don't make much difference in the world. A lot of us are going to work and work and work and feel like we haven't seen very much fruit for our efforts. A lot of us are going to pray and pray and pray and feel like God isn't listening to us. A lot of us are going to think that either we failed God or God has failed us. But James the Lesser, we may not know what he did, but we do know this. He spent 3.5 years with God in the flesh. He hugged God incarnate. He listened to his words. He talked with him. He mourned when he was crucified. He hid in the upper room because he thought they were coming for him and the rest of the disciples next, and he was terrified. And then he was amazed and rejoiced when on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. James the Lesser may be the reason, if we trace it back, why somebody in here is a Christian, if we trace the spiritual lineage back. But we don't have that information. But that's not what matters. What matters is that James the Lesser teaches us that we don't work for accolades and praise. We also don't work fruitlessly. How many people do you think Bill Gates' first math teacher taught? Unless he had a private tutor, which I'm pretty sure he didn't because he wasn't wealthy. They probably taught a number of children. But they taught him math. They taught him to love math, which made him go into coding, which made him say, you know, people need personal computers at home. And yes, he became a billionaire. But more importantly than that, he helped to bring education to places that would never know education. There are children in third world countries who are learning on a computer that you and I threw away years ago, that if Bill Gates' math teacher hadn't taught him to love math, they wouldn't be learning on it. James the Less teaches us the last will be first and the first will be last, and that you work for God because God is the one who rewards you. Brothers and sisters, the hardest thing, I think, for Christians is figuring out that tension that Jesus talks about being in the world but not of the world. And the reason it's so difficult is because the worldly system teaches us that success is this thing. It's notoriety, it's fortune, it's major impact. Jesus teaches us that success is sometimes washing people's feet. Even when you've got a PhD, sometimes you have to wash feet. And the world says, that guy's got a PhD and he's washing people's feet. That woman's got a law degree and she's working at McDonald's. But Jesus says that is success in the kingdom of God. You see, we don't work for praise and honor and glory because God alone deserves praise and honor and glory. We work for Jesus. And our reward at the very basic is the reward that James the Less got. You get your name in the Bible once, and you get it written in the book of life. Guess what? Here at Rockwood United Methodist Church, probably most of us will have our name on the roll as members if you've become a member, and our name in the book of life. But you know what? People can take your success away. You can lose your job. You can lose your health. You can lose your car, your money, your family, your friends, your sanity. You can lose all of those things. But you will never lose the love of Christ. And James the Less reminds us, work for what matters. Work to build the kingdom with God's help. And receive the riches that will be found in glory, because they're the only ones that can't be taken away from you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remember to be humble. Help us, Lord, when we despair, when we think we don't matter, when we think we're not doing anything worthwhile, to remember you washed your disciples' feet. And James the Less died in relative obscurity. And yet, according to Revelation, he sits by the throne of the living God. May that be what we work for, and nothing else. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As you are able, please stand for our final hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 714, if you are following along in the United Methodist hymnal. Now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you work for Christ. Don't work for the things that pass away. Work for the things that are eternal. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of